Ricky, what up, yo?
What's up, man? How's it going?
Good. Cab Driving Terrier.
Cab Driving Terrier.
Chapter?
Chapter number 16.
Nice.
Driving with Terriers.
Get drive on.
Let's see. Let's get my drive on.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Mike, have you... Carly moved her head like she was ladling out millipedes to spiny-toed lizards. She looked like she knew at time it wasn't. Have you seen the movie Sonnentine? I couldn't believe she asked that. Nobody asked that. Forget what she asked. You think I'm some bitch. Is that it? And I lifted the ace of spades. And then I lifted my head of eczema sores. I was one rat on Michigan. You're a some bitch more than I am, Carly. I had to admit it. I was a some bitch. And how come you're wearing that putrid armor? I couldn't find a Brahma Bull outfit. Now, she had to admit it. I may be a summer bitch, but she was a purposeful queen non sequitur. And after I heard that, old man Spellman, Marzipan, whatever the fuck his name is, when I heard that she had killed Dad, well, I just couldn't vote in another election. Dad isn't dead. I'm still not voting. I'm never opening another can unless it's been moved, converted into a bat, and the bat better come strapped with a fucking pamper. Thank you, Miss Non-Sequitur. I was so mad at the carnage her non-sequiturs had left in their wakes. It was like that Mickey Spillane novel, Venice is Mine, except without the beach and sand and without the mine. Yet despite the non-sequiturs and novels, I was having a Rico Suave time. I was busted, dejected, and my ace of spades had gone into hiding. I wanted to go into hiding. I wanted to be the rested, my food digested, and my ace of spades back up my sleeves. I also wanted a grand pizza with entrails. Call me suspicious and moody man, but I wasn't having fish or dinner kid tonight. Go on. It's not easy being a cowboy with a sewer mouth. And it wasn't easy being a sewer with a cowboy mouth. You just have to adjust the ladders and make your Sir Thomas in flashing knight armor. Now Dad has to buy us all science armor. I was choking on a carp when I found my ace of spades. It had been pushed down the ladder one too many times. Or one time too many, and was hosting a telephone for injured iguanas. The ace of spades went right up my sleeve, out the neck hole, and into Sir Thomas's armor that was lying on the floor. I'm sensing a seething comb over several meters away, I said, and said with the enormous bust of Ezra Pound, I can't believe that it's... Whatever, I couldn't believe it was moving my ladder. The words that I needed to deal with this were Ant, Rag, Ant Again, and Enron. I could hear Carly's piercing whine. It felt like I was being pounded on and suffocated by a lawn gnome. I looked up at the genteel pile of crap formerly known as Sir Thomas and flinched. It was moving! Genteely, but moving nonetheless. The genteel remains stood up and spat on Carly, who whined even more piercingly as I reached my ace spades. The dead metal knew it hadn't seen an ace of spades like mine before. An ace of spades that would randomly wriggle out from under my sleeve to wreak havoc. Heavens, I said, suddenly doing my quick draw on McGraw shtick. If my next words were exit, stage right, I knew I'd be in trouble. I also knew that it was either that or stage left. I lifted the ace of spades like a blind man lifts. Well, the playing card, but my playing card posted a profound question beside the usual, have I lost my mind, and what is your web address? The question was one of a sound and vision. Do sound and vision play in the same league? Is vision jealous because we don't mark speed in relation to the speed of vision? And was the last question a question or more of a furtive attempt to close down the reader's senses? All I know is after all this shit, I'm going to the rodeo. The ace of spades tried to pierce Sir Thomas' armor, but his arm was even stronger than it was laughable. I raised the ace of spades again, and Sir Thomas saw it and raised me off the ground and slammed me into the guacamole dip. Mike, Jesus Christ, Carly cried. Come on, that guacamole took me an hour to make. I was looking for a towel when I realized I needed something more pernicious than the ace of spades to pierce this jackass's hide. I need more time. I needed the cab driving terrier too.
Yeah.
Actually, I couldn't just use a freaking cab driving terrier, period. Terriers are nuts enough. A cab driving terrier? Woo, baby! I'd take terrier over metal any day. Mike! Carly's fingers were wrapped around my neck. Mike, do something. We're about to become parrot food. And then vulture food. Well, not if I had anything to haggle over. I somnambulantly sliced at his metal carapace with my ace of spades aiming for his hands. One, two, I was tamming his metal fingers to see if I'd gotten any when he hit me across the Nelson Mandela with the apartheid in his hand. It was a frozen rope dope the cord that would leave a Quasimodo for days. My first reaction was the hands are not cantaloupes. It resounded in my head like the conscious picking up banjos instead of pulling teeth out of the mouth of the elderly. My second reaction was to wonder why nobody I knew played the banjo or dressed up as the princess cowboy or pulled teeth out of the mouth of the elderly. My third reaction hit me like a massive fireball. It hit me like I was on the dole, pouncing off local villains for the craze. The pet style alone sent me flying through the air. It set me floating, jetsaming through space like Justin Timberlake trying on a cowboy hat at a PETA convention. Shit. After I eviscerate this guy, I'm gonna base his ass in some metal suit. Then I'm gonna slow cook him into mess of entrails that only PETA would call inhumane. That gauntlet had not yet been thrown, yet was a little matter of manners. Carly had none. Margin certainly had none. And now that reconstituted washer-dryer Sir Thomas was showing that he also had none. He had the panache of petrified wood and the grace of a gopher. When he rustled himself, he sends his armor out of them to be Martinized, but it always came back unimpressed and rusty. Shit. Carly and I couldn't bear to look at Sir Thomas. It was then that we ordered out for pizza, except we forgot to order enough for Sir Tommy. Using a silicone penetrant, Sir Tom pushed and pushed and pulled on the Velcro bands that held his armor together. As he pushed and pushed and pulled like the evil jackass he was, I saw the opportunity to knock him down, creating a domino effect that would have the repercussions that are probably still repercussing as you read this. I held the ace of spades high over my head and threw it with my lizard-like hands immediately. I went into my interior dialogue, which was playing Elliot Smith's refrain, "Everything means nothing to me," over and over and over and over again. Ah! The cascading domino theory had to take hold. All of my playing card abuse just made Sir Thomas madder. The air turned to gelatin. I passed out. The cascading that wasn't happening wasn't anything like the cascading ways that he hadn't pummeled the Spanish Armada. But there was also no cholera or typhoid, and there certainly weren't no situation comedies on the telly. And despite my being unconscious, I was able to fire up the Folgers and down a cup of Java. Sir Thomas' eyes turned bright orange, and the blinding light from them woke me up. Thank God it wasn't a purple light. I would have run down to Chiapas with Margin on a greyhound. It was red. Did I say orange? It was actually the color of red sangria if sangria were magenta. Sir Thomas didn't say a word. He just glared his orangey glare. I lifted my ace of spades. It was the same ace of spades that had made its way up my sleeve and into my heart.
Oh, Ricky.
Shit.
That was beautiful.
It's fucking awesome, man.